a weak solidarity bricky team, Lister, when it started with a few thousand loyal, decent Trouble Aussies who know immigrants are killing this country, stealing jobs, housing, bludging on the public purse. Good, decent Trouble Aussies who waved and covered themselves in what they know is the only flag that should represent this country, the Union Jack. People who would also respect and admire and obey their caring employer. Unless they're unemployed due to those socially incohesive immigrants. Good, decent Trouble Aussies were attacked by a gang of anti-fascist terrorists with only the brave, neutral, peace-loving, constabulary to protect them, and protect them they did. Now, I want to go to tossing a coin. If we toss it 100 times, the odds are we will get heads half or near enough to half the time and tails the other half. So we'd assume that at events like last Sunday, the odds are the coppers would face the decent, love the one true flag citizens half the time and the terrorist rabble the other half. But no, they face the terrorist rabble 100% of the time. Amazing odds. Thus, when they come to pepper spray at random and turn their paramilitary weaponry loose, it's always the way they're facing. Amazing. Amazing. Well, no, not when we think about it. Silly me. They have to protect decent citizens who just want immigrants and no proper papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people and terra nullius non-land non-people sent back to where they came from. Although the latter case may throw up a few little difficulties. As we've said a few times, we bet the terra nullius non-land non-people wish they'd had a boat people policy 237 years ago. Again, of course, the decent people's complaints are down to capitalism, yet they blame everything but. As a by-the-by on that toss-the-coin bit, another odds phenomenon. Caring employers inadvertently underpaying their lazy, avaricious workers. Odds are they should inadvertently underpay half the time and inadvertently overpay the other half. But no, underpay 100%. Again, amazing. On which caring junk food employer grilled the workers after months and months of fighting to put its 4,200 lazy avaricious workers on an agreement, ensuring they ended up with less than award rates, finally agreed to a deal ensuring they received the proper rates. After which its supremo said the Fair Work Trouble Aussie no longer looks like it, Work Choices looks like it, commission agreement, a landmark achievement. Our people are our greatest asset. We listened carefully and fought hard to deliver the best possible outcome for our teams. Good on him. Although for months and months, fighting hard for the best outcome was to rip them off even more than the normal rip-off. We expect big supremo Anthony Albanese will be spending this weekend scraping that thick brown coat off his tongue after a successful bow and scrape pilgrimage to the court of our new royalty. Success in this case, escaping without the king attacking you as a horrible person, a bad man. Indeed, we have to wonder why anyone would want to meet the Don, but any wonder Anthony escaped the habitual abuse as he promised trillions more of our money to subsidise the US of the UN of the US of the World Train Killer Nuclear Program, and to subsidise the filthiest rich of the filthy rich Trouble Aussies and US OBS rare earths and critical minerals investments, including our very own Gina. Trillions more on top of the cheap government-backed loans she already has in her very, very deep pockets. And trillions more in the future to Donald's US of Donald economy. So why would Donald want to criticise such fawning generosity? For the time being, It's only a matter of time. For instance, last week, despite a facade for the cameras, behind the scenes, Donald excoriated Ukraine Supremo Zelen Gratefulsky and told him he had to concede lots of Ukraine to Donald's friend Vladimir, to whom Donald would delay the good news in a meeting with Vladimir in Hungary, where Vladimir was safe from being arrested as a war criminal. But this week, Vladimir was no longer his friend, and Donald imposed sanctions which may or may not be lifted next week, when Vlad might well be his friend again. Although, not sure why Donald's still interested, given the conflict was resolved in January, the day after the Don ascended the throne. Meanwhile, in that other conflict it resolved day one, the ceasefire is doing pretty well by Zion standards, as they've killed lots less non-land, non-people than they normally kill. Poor Zion, so often forced to kill while observing ceasefires because the other party has the audacity to observe the conditions. While the panacea two-state solution, so beloved of our Zion supporters Anthony and the minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Penny Left Wing, took another giant step forward with the Knesset voting to annex the West Bank altogether. That is the little bits left that it hasn't already annexed, with the US OB saying this week it wouldn't support annexation, probably until next week, and Zion Supremo Benjamin, not another Yahoo, also saying he wouldn't support it this week. Strange, seeing he supported it every other week. And as there's hardly a structure left standing in the rubble that is Gaza, that Riviera drooled over by Donald and his son-in-law, really wish the proponents of a two-state solution would tell us just where the two states should be. After yet more extrajudicial murders on the high seas, one in which two terrorists were killed, it is my great honour to destroy a very large drug-carrying submarine. Submarine Donald, anyway. Two survivors were deported back to Ecuador and Colombia. Colombian Supremo Gustavo Petro retorting, U.S. of government officials have committed murder and violated our sovereignty. Fisherman Alejandro Carranza had no ties to drug traffickers, prompting Donald to put him in his place with his normal restraint. He's a lunatic who's got a lot of problems, mainly mental, biggest mental problems ever, ever. Now, I raise this item just to run that past us again. Donald called another head of state a lunatic who's got a lot of problems, mainly mental. He's also added former supporter turned enemy John Bolton on the weapons to the list of perceived opponents he's ordering be prosecuted for not liking Donald. Bolton for allegedly taking home secrets, a charge Donald would have faced if he hadn't won the election. At the same time, Donald announced he had ordered covert CIA operations to bring down the evil Venezuelan government, presumably rendering them overt. And if anyone else had made that admission, he would be charged under the appropriate Secrecy and Security Act. But of course, these things don't apply to Donald. I don't doubt warmonger John Bolton should be charged, but with war crimes over Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I think it's important, indeed I know you're hanging out for our deep analysis of Barnicle's defection and its implications for the country, for all of us. Right. That was our deep analysis of Barnicle's defection and its implications for the country and for all of us. Although it is serious. We lost Constable Peter Duffer at the last election and now possibly Barnicle. Two walk-up starts for satire. On a positive note, Barnicle was perpendicular. Also standing, in front of the Louvre, a row of French, police blocking the entrance after that brazen jewel heist, which just may be a classic example of locking the stable door. and just thought we'd offer a word of encouragement to the caring business class party's media ubiquitous Senator James Potlimall's son. Still waiting to hear James say something we could vaguely agree with, but despite that, James, a reassurance. See, the Spencer Street, no longer Spencer Street, Falfax, now Nong, listed the caring business class party team from the moderates, so-called, to out beyond Genghis Khan. Moderates including Supremo Sussan, Lees and Dregs, and Institute of Public Very, Very Private Affairs alumni Tim Willer-Taxon. And given they're the moderates, a speech by James warning the party against turning left, James, we don't think you've got too much to worry about. A former senator. At Thursday night's huge meeting at the Capitol Theatre discussing public housing, or rather, lack of and demolition of same, one speaker quoted former union heavy and long-term socialist senator, bum on the plush red seats, which was the extent of the red, Doug Cameron, recently calling for the government to do lots more for public housing. And I thought, very good, Doug. But it might have helped a lot more if you had said all that when you were in Parliament. In Parliament and doing what Anthony made him the Minister for Pollution to do, Murray Swatz, the Environment, was confident his environmental destruction bill would pass with the support of the caring business class Hayseed and Sheepshit Party's coalition. After Murray had consulted the coalition, and more importantly, the great polluters, to ensure they were happy with the legislation making it lots faster and easier to pollute. The ideal balance between the environment and the economy, Murray explained. Observers pointing out the previous minister, Tania Plibersek, had been sacked because she failed to solve the problem because she produced a bill that would have protected the environment and which upset Western true blue Aussie socialist Supremo Roger Cook, the planet, and the great polluters who run his state. Putting the fear of the Almighty into that epitome of courage, Anthony, who ordered Tania to throw away her disgraceful attack on the polluters. Well, the great polluters and Roger and Anthony and the coalition are happy with Murray, or were, after shadowy Minister Angie Bell Tolls for the Environment said she was previously optimistic, cautiously optimistic, because Murray had listened to her and made sure there was no climate trigger, which has upset the Greens no end. The current draft strikes the right balance for industry and the environment, Angie said, and we know how much that lot so care about the environment. But Thursday, her Supremo and would-be big Supremo Sussan attacked the bill as putting a handbrake on investment. Oh no, Murray, you might have to work on that balance a bit more. As the Hayseed and Sheepshits Kevin Hoedown the Forest Scan screamed, they did not protect the destroy the forest industry, coming up with a novel argument for turning the chainsaws loose. When you shut down a national park, weeds grow there and koalas leave because they can't get around the ground. Direct quote, he really said that. We can be sure that's based on deep scientific analysis. And what a lovely man. He really cares about the dear little koalas. Oh, and finally, Murray is establishing a Federal Environment Protection Authority, but the minister, that is Murray for the time being, will have the power to overrule it if it does something anti-true blue Aussie, like reject the pollution proposal in favour of the environment part of Murray's balance, allowing Murray to get the balance right. Anthony must be so proud of him. Good morning.